Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. This is going to be an electronic journey. That's all I can tell you. Greg is here. Greg has Greg's Guide Service. He's selling these hats. I don't know if he's selling the hats. He's giving me one.
We can sell.
But anyway, yeah, we're going to we'll put that right there. But brand new. I'm aware
that might be nice as price as they are nowadays.
People will be out there. I'll be fishing. If they come by and if I'm not catching anything, I'll just say, my name's Greg.
That's right.
No, I wouldn't do that. Say, my name's Brad.
That's okay.
We got to figure it out. But electronics, it's like people are done freaked out over this.
That is for sure.
Electronics and people putting units and stuff on. But as we were talking about before, some of the guys now are running live scope on the back of their boat, like their transom, and running that besides their...
Is it ever going to stop?
The one in the front. I don't know if it's going to stop. You know, in days before live scope got going, vessels that were in saltwater, they actually had sonar that was built into the hull that went forward.
Yes.
So it wasn't like rocket scientists right. When they did it. They just were able to do it. Garmin was able to do it better, and then they were able to put the application there. But when you're doing, and you do installs, have you seen very many people installing the sonar in the back?
I have not yet. I do know that it's getting big on the bass side of the world.
Uh-huh.
Most of our stuff is crappie. People uh-huh. around here. But not too many people. Right now, as far as the back of the boat, it's brakes. That's all everybody's thinking about and worried about right now. But I've been seeing to where some of the pros on the bass side are putting one on each side. So, in other words, they got three.
Yeah.
Live scopes on their boat, and some of them's got four because they have the one on the trolling motor, have one on the turret, and then they have the truant, or whatever it's called.
Yep,
and then they have one on each side of the jack plate. So, basically, from what I can understand, there's a company making a bracket that live scope will fit into. So instead of having side imaging, looking out both sides at 80 feet or whatever, which they still have that, I'm sure, but they turn that live scope on and they get better detail and what they're looking at as they scan the waters to see where they want to fish for the pre-fishing.
Yeah, it could be pre-fishing, but because this is so new and most of the people that have it haven't released it, it could be something where they're turning that front transducer to the side, and if they are 80 feet away from the shore, that would, with two units with live scope Garmins, because we're talking about 20-degree cones.
Yeah, they're looking beams, at almost the whole side.
Then they're looking at the whole side, so they could see the whole side of what they're fishing. And so, but if they're going, the fact is that side scan is a very narrow beam as it goes out and it slices through the back from one side to the other and covers a very small slice and goes. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is you got to be moving for it to work.
Exactly.
So what's the insanity of three live scopes in your thing when it comes to power? Like, so if you have three of them, that means you're running three boxes and you're running three units just for those.
Yeah, those people are running them strictly on a lithium.
Yeah.
I would say probably 100 amp hour minimum.
Minimum. Jeez.
There's a few companies, Militech, they have 135 and 190 amp now.
So you're going to need them.
Yeah. But, I mean, by the time you run four graphs and three live scopes, you're going to need a minimum of 100 amp hours.
100 amp hours.
To be able to run all day.
What does a normal 12-inch Garmin, how many amp hours? 2.5? What's
something
the amp
like
hour
that.
Use?
Yeah, it's the draw on it's just under two.
Just under two.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the actual 12-inch screen will actually draw more amperage than your LiveScope black box.
Wow.
And they think it's the other way around, but it's right. Some of them aren't.
How about crosstalk? A lot of people will be like, am I going to get crosstalk?
See, I'm not real sure on that because, I mean, you would think that they would, but I haven't seen enough of it yet to see what's really going on. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
So it's interesting because of what the limits of it's going to go to. So you're a crappie guide, mm-hmm. and you've seen the development of electronics as you started all the way from the beginning of this deal,
right.
and have gone through. And so how many units, how many black boxes, and how many live scopes you have on yours? Currently.
I just have the one.
Currently.
I just have the one.
Just the one?
Mm-hmm.
Would you get another one for crappie fishing, or do you think that's a bass fishing deal?
Well, I have thought about it at a time or two. Right. I mean, I have a whole live scope system in my shop right now.
Right.
When I went from the 32 to the 34,
right.
I never did get rid of my 32. I still have it.
Right.
And I kept it for more than reasons of just keeping it in case I need it.
Right.
It has been very handy on troubleshooting for people's problems.
Uh-huh.
I had a guy just literally a month ago, he called me and his live scope was messing up and wasn't seeing this and wasn't doing that. And he's cutting off and cutting on. And
right.
I said, your transducer's bad. He said, no, man, don't tell me that. I said, transducer's going bad. He said, well, I think it's black box. I said, I got both right here in the shop. Come and get them. Take them out on the lake. And I said, but take the transducer first.
Right.
And put it on. See what happens. And he fished 3 hours and never had a problem with it. So he had to give him a new transducer.
Yeah.
So it's been real handy to have for stuff like that. I thought about doing one on the barrel of the troll motor.
Yeah.
And then bring the other one up on the shaft and put it in perspective mode.
Right.
And leave it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people doing that.
I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff on a boat. You know?
How about in the back? You troll crankbaits, so do I. How about in the back, run yours off the back, and you're trolling crankbaits so you could see
them? Well,
that
would be kind of handy.
You could at least see if they were biting that color. Because, you know, I do happen to know Pico Lures has 42 new colors now. Yeah. Or 42 colors, two new ones.
Well, as far as on the live scope, this last year, I was trolling one particular incident. I don't know if I ever told you, but we were trolling, and when I first seen it out in front of the boat, I thought, man, that's a big, big crappie there if it's crappie. And then I got to notice, and it was a catfish. So I know how far my lines are, right? Because I have an 18-footer and a 14-footer, you know, a 10-foot pole. And then just a 6-footer. And so I would stay on the fish, and I'd look over, and I'd keep the boat. I kept that boat where he's roughly 16, 18 feet off to the side.
Uh-huh.
And I would, like I said, I'd check on him. And finally, he got close enough to the boat. I couldn't check on him no longer to keep going. And I'll be doggone if that catfish did not hit that first pole, that 18-footer. We call it a 10-pound.
See, you need a second.
10-pound blue cat.
You need a second live scope on your boat.
There you go.
Out to the side.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think?
I do pretty well with what I have.
The question is, do you think other crappie fishermen will, though?
It's very possible. I mean.
What would be the advantage? Let's just play the devil's advocate. What would be the advantage of having two there? We already know the disadvantages.
It would be nice to have them to scan and looking for, you know, but whether it be brush piles or schools of fish.
Right.
As you're just idling along, I don't think that I'd want it fishing with it. But, I mean, everybody's got their own opinion, you know.
You think that's because you're fishing mostly the same lake, mm-hmm. not going to different spots? Or can you install?
I mean, on the trolling, I guess you could put the baits back there where you could actually see them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, get one of those turnets and just point it, you know, like point it or have the person in the back of the boat, like point it to the crankbaits.
Right.
Well,
it's kind of a thought.
It's a thought. You still have to connect your foot to the trolling motor or your control. Remote, or I use the digital screen on my unit to control my trolling motor, which is kind of neat. You know, you tell it how fast to go.
Yeah, I don't know. Direction. Like I said, I think the bass industry is going to be harder on that. It's kind of like the brakes now. Yes. It's been called crappie brakes because that's who been using them, and now they got bass brakes.
Bass brakes. So, you know what the difference of those are? They probably cost them more because they call them bass brakes. I think after their first year and they see the guys have them, I think every boat will have bass
brakes. But as far as electronics, as far as general electronics, I mean, one, there's so many people aren't going to spend that kind of money to have the next one on the back.
Uh-huh.
Their main theory and their main thought is, hey, I want to get a live scope and try it.
Right.
So as far as the general person,
right,
general fisherman, you and I, type, you know, we're kind of out of it because we use it as a different tool.
Right.
So the thing on live scope is there's so many people out here that's buying this product, and some of them are even very frustrated with it.
Right.
Because they're not catching the fish that they see somebody else catching or whatever. And I had a gentleman call me not too long ago, and he was real frustrated and was going to sell his. And I told him, I said, look, the electronics is only as good as you allow your electronics to be.
Right.
The better you learn your electronics, the better you're going to understand your electronics and then work them, the better it's going to do for you. And so he's like, well, okay. So what I'm saying is everybody's got in their mind that it's a plug and play.
Right.
And in one sense, it is. But there's four or five factors there that play a very important role. One is how accurate a caster are you?
Right.
Especially if you got a person that if people don't think that the cone is at 20 degrees.
Yep.
So if you drop it right here close, that's only a foot wide, if that.
That's
you
pretty
know.
Narrow.
And then you get on out there at, I think 10 feet is. 10-foot range in front of you is, what, 3 feet or something like that?
3.6.
And then it pretty much doubles every 10.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're at 20 feet, that is only a 7-foot cone. So you got to be accurate enough because if you're seeing that fish, one, you don't, you know, if the brighter it is, the better you are because you're on
the center. You're in the center. The beam.
If it's real good and bright. If you're wondering if it's off to the side just a little bit, move your trolling motor or your pole.
Right.
Move it just a little bit. If you turn it to the left and he goes out of the picture, then you need to bring it back to the right and get it in the center. The brighter the picture, the more center it is. But if you got a picture of a fish and it's fairly bright and you throw it out there, if you don't hit that 10-foot, you're not even going to see your bait, and that's the biggest thing. People say, I can't even see my bait. So, you know, one, your accuracy of your cast, your understanding of what you are looking at.
Uh-huh.
You've got to be able to understand and be able to see whether it's cover, what type of cover it is to the fish. You can even identify these fish if you get to watching it.
Uh-huh, the species of fish.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then you got to understand to a degree, you still got to understand the behavior and pattern that fish.
Right. Because we had talked about it earlier, dropping it right on them and them not moving. And then, but in the summer when they're very active, you ain't dropping it and hitting them.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's times you can get that jig within a foot of them and they're going to come and knock the fool out of it. Then the next time, you almost got to tap him on the nose and say, "Wake up, here I am." Or the next time, they may not want it sitting still. They may want it to be moving.
Yep.
So you can cast and reel real slow. So it all comes together. But after all those, then the main thing to look at is your gain.
Right. Color gain.
Your gain as far as the sensitivity, right. Some people call. You got to do that. This water out here right now is muddy.
Yeah.
If you was fishing here yesterday and it was pretty clear and just barely dingy, you might be running on 70% gain. Right. But today you may only need 60, 65. So, the watercolor changes that. But also what people don't realize is the depth range and the forward range plays a big role in what you can see and what you can understand.
And how big they are.
Exactly.
How big the fish are.
You know, a lot of people run the grid so they can tell the size. I don't need the grid to tell how big it is. I mean, if he's big, you're going to see it. But if you want the grid, run the grid.
Right.
But at the same token, then you can go in. And so let's just say you're running your gain at, say, 65%.
Right.
Turn your color gain up to at least 70%.
Right.
At least five over what your gain is, if not 10.
And that's making it pop.
And that will make it pop. Yeah. That will make it come out and stand out. That whatever you're looking at, it'll be a lot brighter, a lot better picture. A lot of people don't realize that. And you say pop, kind of reminds you of this stuff they come out with for
They pop. Still do. They still got
bait
it.
Pop,
yeah, bait pop. Still
and you
still
put that
there.
On there, and it will brighten your lure up better. But you can do that with color gain.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway. So that's where a lot of people are, that's even with using a long pole. If you cannot accurately place that, now I do pretty good until it goes to the side.
Yeah.
Especially the side I'm sitting on. I have a harder time getting in that cone than I would there. But at the same token, you take what we're talking about in the accuracy and you say you have a active target, which is Lowrance.
Right.
We're talking an 18. You're talking an 18 degree instead of a 20 degree. So you're even smaller.
Yeah. It's not much smaller, but it's small to the point of if you're kind of relaxed.
2 degrees makes a big difference.
If you're relaxed, a daisy call fisherman, or you're not very accurate, or you're in places that have a lot of wind. I mean, and so I know ranges, I've played with 60 foot and 80 foot. And I kind of go back and forth, and it goes according to what I'm fishing for.
Yeah, a lot of people will take them.
I see that 30, and every crappie I see is damn 3 pounds, Greg. Yeah, 3 pounds.
Exactly.
But we're fishing here on Beaver Lake. I know they're not 3 pounds.
Exactly. some people will look at 60 to 80 feet out, and as they get closer, they bring it in.
Oh.
I usually just set mine at about 35 and just leave it.
Right.
Once in a while, I'll go further out, depending on what I'm doing fishing-wise. If I'm spider rigging or something, I'll sometimes
I can
go
see
out a little further.
It.
You know, so it all depends, what you're doing. A lot of people are like, why do you want live scope if you're spider rigging? Well, I want it for several reasons. I mean, who would have ever thought we would have come out with a piece of equipment that we understand how many times we've fished over the years and we're getting these hits, but we're not getting no fish.
Right.
And we can sit right there on that live scope and watch them swim up there and hit the sinker.
Right, yep.
Instead of hitting the bait. Uh-huh. Well, there's why we're missing them. I've seen it a lot of the times we say we missed that fish. Right. We did not miss the fish. The fish missed you.
That's right.
Because you could watch it, even on a jig. I've seen them swim up there, and you're ready. You're going to get a hook set. You feel it. You jerk because it's your natural instincts. But he didn't do nothing but brush it. He just brushed it. You can see that jig swinging over. So there's a lot of things there that we get to see that we never seen before.
Exactly. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, if you're out there live scoping, make sure you use our Scope Eye jigs because they're easier to see. They make the lure pop.
Yeah, they
We've been talking
You can
about
actually
popping.
See that eye glare on the screen if you get it close enough.
Yeah, Mitch has got some secret sauce that he somehow, I guess when he's making them and baking them, he puts it in there. I don't know. But I know they sell lots of them. Yeah. And people love them, and they last a long time. So that's a real good option. But you can check all the jig heads or crankbaits and things like that. You can check them out at picolures.com. Greg, if they want to go on a guide trip with you or if they want to learn about their electronics, where would they go? Or you also do installations,
yes,
which
sir.
We did in another show, but you do installations. Right. How'd they get in touch with you?
479-601-1683, or you can go on Facebook or Messenger, Instagram, get a hold of me that way.
All right, there you go. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp.
And lures in the wild.